no place to escape to.
This is the last podcast
on the left.
That's when the cannibalism started.
Compton. Yeah, you know what, man? I saw Straight Outta Compton. You know what I realized? All I needed in my life was I needed a rhyme in my pocket, and I needed a dollar sign in my eye. I needed to get my foot out of the game, because you know what? I'm too real to be messing with them fools, and that's why I want all my boys in the hood to start calling me Too Real.
I don't think you understood the movie at all. Too Real's a terrible nickname.
I know exactly what Straight Outta Compton is about. You wear a hat that has the name of your neighborhood written on it, and then you wear a shirt with a regional sports team on it.
Right.
And then you make a rap album, and you go straight to the top.
You crushed it. Absolutely. I saw a train wreck, and I want to date a pro wrestler.
All right.
I love John Cena. Dolce, New Mexico.
Now, what is the name of the show?
It's the last podcast on the left. Everybody knows the name of the show.
Your job is to say the name of the show. We've said this many times. Yes, it seems.
No. One could argue.
It is called branding, Ben, where you brand it, and then you say all of our names.
One could argue that we already know, everyone knows it's the last podcast on the left, so it almost undermines the entire power that we already have.
But what you're doing now is just destroying the nature of the reality of shows. What you're doing.
Welcome to the last podcast on the left, everybody. I am Ben Kissel, joined by Marcus
joined by Dog Meat!
You want to be Dog Meat?
He doesn't want to be Dog Meat. The name found him. I've been calling him Dog Meat for about 3 weeks, and we have not gone public on this. Marcus's new name is Dog Meat.
Why is it Dog? I hate Dog Meat! There's not Dog Meat.
His name's Dog Meat.
It's Dog Meat now.
This is something you want, Marcus.
Love it.
And my name is Too Real.
Too Real and Dog Meat? God, I'm still Ben.
And that's unfortunate.
Dolce, New Mexico, part two. I'm so over this episode already. Let's get to some truth.
I'm going to go ahead and say this. Again, Marcus and I have been heavily monitored. Dog Meat and I have been heavily monitored by the government the last couple of days, and that is fucking true. We heard the noises again.
Yeah.
Every time that we get on the phone and start talking about how Dulce is a possible center of disinformation, which is what we're going to be talking about this episode, we're going to introduce what I think are two strong cases that every story around Dulce base is all about disinformation.
And in no way is it because you don't have good reception in your house.
No, absolutely not.
It happened in multiple different places.
Okay.
Yeah, and then multiple places.
I got my identity stolen. Someone took money from me out of my bank account. I think it was a fucking government.
But yeah, and you know when that happened? You know when they took the money out of account? You know when he discovered that the money was taken out of his account? As we were on the phone with each other about to discuss more disinformation.
You guys are always on the phone together, so it was going to happen.
We do talk on the phone a lot.
We do talk on the phone a lot because we're digital pen pals.
All right, I don't like Dog Meat, but whatever, it's fine.
Yes, I guess Too Real would continue on with his description of the event. Yes. Because I'm too real to be fake. Not like Phil Schneider and Thomas Costello, if they even existed.
If we know Phil Schneider existed, Costello, on the other hand, bit up in the air as to whether this man actually existed or not. But we will continue on with his testimony because he is backed by a woman that we just discovered this morning by the name of Cherry Hinkle.
Now, if Cherry Hinkle isn't being honest, then I don't have four balls.
You don't.
Yeah, she's the artist / writer at the Dolce Material, the Dolce Papers, Dolce Sketches, and she's the UFO consultant at Freelance Writer.
And that's the most important one.
Right.
Because again, if you're too close to the fucking truth, a magazine won't hire you for a permanent position.
Think about that. And she's on Facebook, so she's legit.
She's right out there. And Cherry Hinkle's got a face that looks like a... looking like a Hinkle.
Yep. A tomato with eyes.
Yeah, she claims to be the only writer authorized by Tom Costello to release the Dolce base material. Now, when we left...
And Thomas Costello is also, maybe coincidentally, what she calls herself when she puts a mustache on.
Oh, and why wouldn't you?
And she walks around going like, my name is Thomas Costello, and I've seen so many fucking aliens. And they're like, please, sir, this is you're the head of the line of Taco Bell. Please, what would you like to order? I want the 9 gorditas, you bitch.
It's a fun game to play at Taco Bell. And 9 gorditas, hell of an order.
Wait a second.
Are you just an elderly woman?
Yes, it's true. My name's Jerry Hinkle, but that's the voice I like to use when I'm talking about aliens.
Love Jerry Hinkle.
So in our last episode, we left off with Thomas Costello discovering what lay on the 6th and 7th floors of the facility, i.e. the genetic testing library on level 6, and the thousands of human prisoners in cages on level 7, and being totally fine with it because his superiors told him that they were all hopelessly insane and they were being tested on in an effort to help them.
And that's what a big thing about what people want to talk about. I think the fallacy of modern medicine is that the mentally ill need to be treated with care. I think it's really important that if we want to get to the core of a lot of mental illness, they should be kept in dog-like cages or in puddles of what seems to be like a protein fluid up to their nose with fucking shunts up their noses so they can breathe in it. I think that's how you fix somebody.
Yeah. That's great. You're like a Dr. Oz, but then if he lost his soul, isn't that kind of
yeah,
fun?
I'm like
he already did.
I'm like Dr. Oz with a real black ops government budget. Like, he wouldn't be pulling this horseshit, but it would be about couples therapy. It would be two couples to join at the fucking genitals and a bunch of ooze, and him just going like, y'all gonna work out your problems by rubbing clits in this amniotic flute.
I love to get sewn together with the woman or man that I love. Dog meat? What are some of the tests they would do? Please tell me, dog me.
So we return with what changed Costello's mind, a man that we know only as George S. You see, one day in 1979, as Thomas was doing a routine check on the camera systems on level 7, George managed to catch his attention.
Hey, buddy. Hey, man, come here. Come here, man. Hey, my name's George. I'm a crazy man. Godfather 2 is the best of the Godfather movies.
You're out of your mind. Out of your mind.
No, man. Come closer. Come closer. It's proof. The Mets used to be a great dynasty in baseball, and they're just falling apart. It's mostly just because they can't keep people on the team. Every time they win a World Series, they trade everybody.
Total lunatic. Completely crazy.
It's starting to make sense. Because unlike a lot of the other inmates who were just screaming in terror.
Well, mostly because they were being turned into man pigeons and man pigs and man bears.
Right. Ooh, yeah. I want to be a man pig.
Yeah, but George was able to...
You're close.
Thank you, Henry.
Sorry, you just walked toe first into the zing zone.
Oh, am I in the zing?
Zing!
So George did not sound insane whatsoever. So that weekend, Thomas asked a police officer friend of his to run a check on George and found that George was, in fact, a missing person. Mm. Not only that, but nobody was looking for him because George was one of those guys. Like, you know, in the 70s, guys just used to leave.
Of course, we did a whole National Parks episode about missing people and things like that.
And drifting was just another way to have fun outside.
Right.
Yeah, guys would leave and they'd start a new life in a new city. John Wayne Gacy did that.
God, I just wish that was still real.
Yeah. You can't get off the grid anymore.
You really can't.
But I do want to say, missing implies missed. It doesn't seem like anyone cared.
No.
So was he missing?
No, well, the government eventually has to look for you because you're held accountable by like various municipal functions. There's like taxes and like if you had a job or if there was anybody who saw you in any way, shape, or form, it's like he probably owed somebody money.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah, they went to the cops, say, hey, I hadn't seen George in a while. And the cops just thought, it's like, you know what? He just ran off. Let's not even worry about it.
Oh, that guy that only talks about, like, Godfather movies and how the Mets have fallen off?
Yeah, she's totally fine.
So, by the time Thomas came back, however, on Monday morning, George was gone.
And all that was left was a talking pigeon.
Yes, me, it's George. Yeah. The Mets are going to win it all this year. I really think if they double down and get a good defensive squad, they got enough firepower behind the plate to really ratchet up the runs. You know what I'm saying? But hey, man, if you could get me back to being a dude, I really miss my dick.
Give him some breadcrumbs.
So now let's get into the nefarious dealings around Dolce.
What happened, Marcus?
So what are we going to do? Are we going to do Dolce, or are we going to give in to the guy who called us a faggot on Facebook and say Dulce? Because, Henry, as you sit on the telephone, we don't give in to terrorists.
We don't give in to terrorists.
We're not giving in to terrorists.
Dulce is technically the proper pronunciation of Dulce,
base.
I'm going to call that guy a douche.
We know this. All right? We know this. I mean, people, I know, I'm going to call Nerd Alert on your fucking asses.
Whoa.
Mm-hmm. When you come and say Dolce. I know it's not Dolce. It's Dolce. Dolce's fun to say because it sounds like a gelato. Okay? So we're going to, we sometimes say things that we're going to say.
Yeah.
Because it's a free show. It's 100 degrees in the room right now. My balls kind of hurt. I got a cut on my leg. I'm tired. You know?
You look awful.
I feel like shit.
Right.
I'm going to say Dolce.
I'm going to call it Dulce.
Dulce.
Also sounds like kind of an action movie star.
I'm actually lying the whole time. I'm in a great mood and I feel great.
Yeah, me too. I'm full of coffee and full of love.
Welcome to the last podcast on the left, everybody. We got Two Real and Dog Man. Dog Boy.
Meat.
Dog meat.
Dog meat
so much.
So in the book, ETs and UFOs, they need us. We don't need them, by Virgil Posty Armstrong.
No, so this is so this is totally rock bottom. This is concrete.
This is concrete. Yeah, you don't trust Posty?
I think it's Posty.
Is it Dolce?
I think it's Virgil Posty Armstrong.
Okay.
And I don't really understand how you get the nickname Posty before the internet age when you're doing a self-published book called ETs and UFOs, They Need Us, We Don't Need Them.
But yeah.
Which also was possibly Greg and Rachel. She needs us, we don't need her. Virgil and Rachel.
So in this book, Virgil reports how his friends, named Bob and Sharon, stopped for the night in Dolce and went out to dinner. They overheard some local residents openly and vociferously discussing extraterrestrial abduction of townspeople for purposes of extermination.
Hey, y'all remember Fat Nancy?
Yeah, what happened to her?
She's fucking alien bait.
Isn't that something?
Yep.
I always knew she was going to be the only one to get out of this dump of a town.
You know what? Because of the way she sang and the way she played the clarinet and her positive attitude and the positives she made, I knew one of those various skills was going to get her out of this town. But who knew it was just her ample hips that the aliens craved to squirt eggs into. You know what it gives you? It tells you something.
What's that?
Never, ever, never try.
Well, goddamn it, I'll keep on then.
So the ETs were taking unwilling human guinea pigs, such as Fat Susan, from the general populace of Dolce and implanting devices in their heads and bodies. See, the townspeople were frightened and angry, but they didn't feel that they had any recourse since the ETs had our government's knowledge and approval.
The only way we had to defy the aliens was to get fat, to make it difficult for their tractor beams to pull us up into their UFOs.
They do pull up cows, though, so, you know, it would be, how fat are you going to get? I feel like just at this point you have an eating disorder.
You know what's weird is that I never use my thinking muscle, you know?
Your brain.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I always thought it was called a brain. Yeah, I've never had them try doing that.
I love it here at the old Dolce Bar.
Oh, my shoes are full of pee.
That'll happen. There's no bathrooms around.
Well, Ben, speaking of cows, Dolce is also known for its high instances of cattle mutilations. See, the aliens use the blood and body parts from cows for formula to keep them alive and for use in the growing vats on level 7 and for the artificial wombs on level 6. Because, you see, plasma and amniotic fluid from cows are the two most vital ingredients for their lives.
Because you were saying before, they mix it up into their food. They basically take dry food and make it wet food using all the juices from inside of cows and animals. Mm-hmm. But I would also say there is the conspiracy side of this, or one of the conspiracy sides of this, of the cattle mutilation story, is that Dolce had a massive amount of cattle mutilations around, which is a part of UFO lore for forever. But what they believe is another thing could be testing on subjects of the power of like nuclear poison, radiation poisoning, and using different sorts of like radiation based weapons. And what they can do is take those skin samples from around the mouth, which is a lot of times where you see the cattle mutilations happen, which is their mouths are incised and their assholes are cored out.
Oh my!
And they use that. They use those tonks of meat, those cones of meat, to test to see how deep the radiation has gone into the animal.
So first of all, I want a microchip in my head because I want to be able to blink and turn the channel. That sounds super fun. But I've been watching The Mind of a Chef, a great PBS documentary about chefs, and I just feel like maybe there's an alien out there who should star in an episode all about how he likes to carve up the cow's butthole and bring home the meat and cook it up for the alien family.
What's important is that the food starts dry, but then eventually you make it wet with the juices from the animal. And that's my cooking show.
The Mind of the Alien Chef. I love, maybe they're just not, they don't know how to eat the cow.
They don't know how to do a lot of things.
They just don't understand how close they were to barbecue.
Oh, yeah, getting the ribs.
So back to Thomas Costello's story. He slowly began to sense that there was an underlying current of tension between some of the personnel and himself after hearing George's story. Once in a while, he'd just walk around a corner. There'd be a serious discussion going on between some coworkers, and because Thomas was a security officer, these talks would die off into a little murmur, and the individuals would part company.
Yeah, because the thing about Tommy is that he's coming in, he smells like tacos, and he's got a bad fucking attitude. And we're like,
oh, hey guys, how are you? What you talking about?
Nothing. See, yeah.
You're just talking about how. You know, taco night.
Taco night.
You're talking about me, buddy.
With just taco night.
Taco night.
Taco night.
Yeah, how, you know, the reptilians just wanted on the Tuesdays, and we were thinking that for the flow of the week,
it'd be cool if it was Thursdays.
All right, then.
So, yeah. Say hi to Clutch for us. All right, because I miss him.
It's weird around here.
Meanwhile, like, he thinks it's weird that people have a conversation to shut up. Meanwhile, there's like a floating Nordic walking behind them going, being like, has everyone seen the astral diamond of Palladia? You know, and he's just like, things are just hooky jooky. This is your comedy show right here. You got like one improv guy who's like stuck in the background, like doing temp work. And he's just like, you should write a skit about The Office. Mm-hmm. And he's like truly terrified. He's like, I should write a skit. I should write a whole manifesto about this office. This is your comedy show.
Right. This is, if you're working in an office right now and you think it's a good idea for a sitcom, it's not.
No.
It's not. It's
never will done. Be. It no. sucks.
Yep.
Your ideas suck.
Well, no, it could be very good.
So although Costello was disturbed by his discovery that George was just a normal Joe who had been abducted, he wasn't the actual quote-unquote whistleblower. Many scientists had had some concerns with the activities at Dulce for a little while.
That's
now.
Weird, though. Why?
Why? Well, so, you know, there's computer technicians, some of the security officers, just not.
It's all the screaming
it's
people
the
being turned
hall.
Into. Yeah. Like turned into animal goop and, and being fed upon by giant 7 foot tall reptilians. And
most people who called it the Nightmare Hall thought that that was a bad thing.
That was a good, that was a scary place.
A scary place. Some people thought it was a good name.
Yeah, there was just one guy with a cruel like an Anton LaVey beard who's just like, Nightmare Hall, I plan to rent it out for my birthday.
Yeah, it sounds like it could be kind of fun.
This is my birthday cake. I hope you enjoyed it. It's made out of shit.
Poo-poo cake.
Don't like it.
So shortly after Costello's discovery, another security officer approached him and invited him to a secret meeting in one of the phosphorescent tunnels, which the Greys could not enter because of a substance painted on the walls. We do not know why the Greys could not approach these tunnels, but we do know that it was the substance that was on the walls that kept the Greys away.
Huh.
All right.
Huh. It's like when you take lemon juice and you squirt a cat with it.
That'll keep the cat away.
I what if it was it. Just big murals of Catherine and Jimmy?
Ooh.
Just like, can't stand Sister Act 2. This look of her face. I just hate her perky ways. Come, Claxar. It's like, I wish that I could tell the others how much I truly enjoyed Catherine Najimy.
Hocus Pocus is a guilty pleasure of mine.
Hocus Pocus is one of the best movies that's ever been created, ever made. I think they could stop making movies after Hocus Pocus. If you don't watch Hocus Pocus once a week, what are you doing with your life?
So 9 men showed up to the meeting, and while they were risking their lives and their freedom by bringing Costello into the fold, they all decided that Costello was a man that was looking to change the status quo at Dolce.
Yeah.
So, So one by one, they showed records that the inmates had indeed been abducted, along with newspaper clippings and photos of the abductees being smuggled into the base. The plan was to smuggle them back out without the quote-unquote government honchos finding out. And they need Thomas's help, and Thomas agreed.
I'm also going to put this again this way. All of this information comes from one leaked Thomas Costello interview. All right? So this is Thomas Costello's story of how the alien rebel army needed him. They needed the security officer, Thomas Costello, in order to liberate the many prisoners of the Dulce Air, the Dulce base, which is a miles deep, super secret, alien run, covert military base. They needed him.
Yeah.
They needed the guy who could pass the security officer test, which is like they hand you a hat, and if you put it on forwards, you become a security officer.
You're it. Yeah, they needed Tommy Costello.
They needed a hero, and they got a Costello.
Well, possibly the most surprising allies the humans had during this conflict, because it wasn't just the humans that disagreed with what was going on there. The most surprising allies they had, the lower caste of reptilians, some of them were also on their side, specifically a janitor named Shikal.
He's a reptilian? He used to mop the floors?
Yeah. Yeah, of course. The lower caste, that's what they do.
It keeps them busy.
What is it just that the people do that?
No. People have to be security officers.
Yeah.
I feel like the reptilian should be the security officer. And this... Costello, shut up.
Shut up.
I'm just saying...
Shut up,
but they're supposed to
questions.
Be in charge of everything.
Shut up.
Shut up, man.
Shut up.
Why would you put the 7 to 8 foot tall reptilians in charge of security?
I don't know, dog meat.
Shut up. You don't know. It had to be 5'6" Thomas Costello, all the way from Runnemall, New Jersey. He had to be there. It had to be him. You had to give him a weapon. Because he could also properly subdue the reptilians.
Yeah, more than likely.
Shit.
Approached him, and he said,
"A few of us agreed that you're singular in your interest in missing human reports. If true, walk away. I will reach you. If it is untrue, destroy my life now."
Huh. That's something. It is weird around here.
It is. You know what? I've been thinking about it. I've been writing a one-man show called Costello the Show. And I put a O-W at the end of it.
That's a great idea.
And I'm really thinking it's just like I throw a musical number about this. And, you know, I got a Tina Fey reference in there. And then I got to do a thing about Coney. And then the whole thing is set.
So although skeptical, Costello silently backed away from the reptilian into an exit tunnel and contacted one of the 9 humans, who agreed that the reptilians could maybe be trusted, but Costello should go and meet with them at the next opportunity. This guy named Gordon, he said, he's like, "I want to come along. I want to come along." And he said, "No." Costello said, "No, it's too dangerous. We don't know what's going to happen here. I've got to go alone." And Gordon said, "You know what I'm going to do? I have to be there. I'm going to be around the corner, and I'm going to pretend like I'm working on one of the golf carts that we use to ride around. And if I'm needed, I'll jump out. And I'll scream.
Help me, reptilians are eating my fucking knees."
So that meeting came days later in the Nightmare Hall. And so Shia formally introduced 2 other reptilians.
All better names than dog meat.
Dog meat. Too real to be your friend.
I don't like the too real thing.
And with that, the resistance group grew bigger and bigger from there. Now, it is important to note here...
And they also had George S. the Talking Pigeon on there as well.
Yes, of course.
Now...
Hey, you guys like it in Godfather 2 when it's just like all of a sudden Al Pacino. Man, Al Pacino's got to be the hard ass. I mean, he got pulled in there for, you know, against his whole will. I can't believe that. He wanted to be good. He just wanted to join the army. You know what I'm
saying? Shut up, pigeon dick.
I swear to God, I miss milkshakes. I don't have a throat anymore. I don't know what birds have.
It is important right now to take note. You guys have seen V, right?
Every day I watch it.
Yeah. Got to. Every day, yeah.
It's important to note the similarities between...
It's an NBC miniseries, for those of you who don't know, that's about what we're talking about. It's about aliens working with the government, and there's an uprising with the human and aliens, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, working together.
Different
than
I thought.
And it's said that the original author of the V idea... was an investigator who knew Thomas Costello on a personal basis.
And this is according to the crack resource that we've been using for literally 5 years, Bibliotheca Pleiades.
Yes.
Now, also, this is not an uncommon story, because you hear also that the guys who did Close Encounters of the Third Kind also work closely with the government, and the people who worked with the War of the Worlds work closely with the government. This is a common idea that Hollywood and the government work together to sort of sell messages to the people, which is totally true, because I know for a fact, because Heroes is trying to destabilize the Iranian government.
Isn't that something? And I believe that's totally true.
Congratulations, Ben, or Henry. You're a true patriot.
What's my name?
Benry.
No, what's my name?
Too real.
Too real to be your lover.
Too real it is.
So as you could imagine, the resistance was surrounded by enemies on all sides. Mm-hmm. And while the reptilians and the humans loyal to the reptilians were definitely a threat, possibly the biggest threat to the uncovering of their plot were the Greys, due to their mind-reading abilities. I bet you forgot about the Greys, didn't you, Ben?
I always forget about the Greys. I love that book, 50 Shades of Greys, and I read it, and I'll tell you, that was just hot. Those aliens, they put balls in women's vaginas.
What?
Yeah, she walked around, she went to a dinner party. I'm currently seeing a girl who likes to read that book.
So. No, they put a ball up in her vagina?
In her vagina! Yeah, and then she kind of clings around like she's a bunch of plights going for a dinner walk.
I don't really understand how that works.
Yeah. Is it a vagina buzzer? Is it like a buzzer thing that you put up in, and like when you're across the room, you look at her in the eyes and you hit the button and it goes...
Like a whammy?
She goes...
She goes, my clit explodes.
No, it's inside.
Huh.
You go, She goes,
Is that what you do? You do this with Carly?
Why does your dog meat? Why does your girlfriend sound like a lawnmower?
Because she starts making those weird, uncontrollable noises. Where she's like, "Oogie,
yep,
snoochy nookin."
Yeah,
but you are correct. The government uses Hollywood films to sell messages. Look at the rise of the U.S. soccer, European football. Bend it like Beckham. Think about
bend
that.
It like bend
so
it
you're
like
saying, oh, I get
and Ladybug.
You know what?
Ladybug did bring the U.S. Open to the world. Whatever is it? What's that called? The World Cup?
World Cup.
Yeah.
Ben, I think I'm following your logic here because if they bring, because America is singular in its indifference to soccer, refuse to call it football. They are singular in their indifference. Mm-hmm. The rest of the world has been under the spell of soccer for this entire time. But if you bring soccer into the United States, right, that is one step closer towards
the new world order.
That's right.
The one world government. Ben, you're on to something.
And that's right. And Jonathan Brandis ended up killing himself because he learned the truth.
Yeah. And then he woke up one day and he was just like, I've been in this show next to a fucking dolphin for 6 years.
Yep.
A space dolphin. Mm-hmm. All right, time to pop my top.
Take him out.
Back to the Greys. What makes them so dangerous?
Now, what we remember is the reptilians and the Greys have had a very shady, kind of a very touchy relationship up to this fake storyline.
It's very touch and go at this point. Very touch and go.
Irish mafia, Italian mafia, 1930.
Exactly.
Very, very, very astute. Yes. So, but what makes the Greys?
It actually is.
It's very good. Yeah.
I almost wanna.
Thanks to Real and Dog Meat. It's been really nice to be on the show with you the past 3.5 years. I'm happy I got an astute sentence in there.
So what makes the Greys so dangerous is their ability to read your intent rather than what you say, because they read your body's frequency. See, the human race broadcasts a certain frequency that the Greys recognize as an electromagnetic impulse. You see, each person has a slightly different frequency, what we call a quote-unquote personality.
So you can be party animal, or you could be party gay, or you could be like party mom, or like party dad.
No. I'm kind of the oversensitive one, but I also say offensive things to people.
Because that's because what you're doing is offending them before they can offend you.
That's right.
It's deflection.
Yeah. Oh. And I'm a cruel master who is just bent upon the servitude of others and gets physically hard when someone does my will.
I'm dog meat.
And then dog meat.
Wow. Too real to be your friend.
Sex in the City. Here we go.
So when a human thinks, they broadcast strong impulses, each impulse different from the next. In the case of fear, the frequency is quote-unquote loud and easy to recognize, which was useful to the Greys when scoping out for possible dissenters. Mm. Now,
this is an interesting thing about, this is a very interesting thing about Greys, which I think is very interesting, that you can fuck with the Greys' mental reading abilities.
Pretty
right?
easily.
Yeah, by using commands, right? Basically, you yell at a Grey, right? Use commands or nonsensical words in the form of commands, and they will back up. You go like, Klaxar? Give it over there, you know it. You go. You mop the garbage can. Klaxar. Klaxar. And he'll stand up and be like, mopping the garbage can. And he'll go and just mop the outside of the garbage can because they're used to following orders.
Mm-hmm.
And they're because their brain, I guess, is more, they say, is more logical than ours.
Yeah.
And they do not have what we would consider fun.
Quote unquote fun.
They do not understand poetry either, which is interesting. And what I loved, one of my favorite facts ever, what really truly confuses a Grey is saying things in pig Latin.
Mm-hmm.
And that ended up being the resistance's greatest weapon.
That maybe some Joni Mitchell lyrics. You know,
they're not going to get the pave of paradise.
What happened to you, dog meat? Did you stroke out?
You just became a fucking Porky Pig for a second.
I was supposed to be a pig guy.
They wouldn't be able... A KCU, if they listened to a KCU, Christopher Claxer is like, what is this salty discharge? I'm feeling my own sadness. And then his head explodes.
Oh.
But what we forgot, though, the context of all this is the very beginnings of what they like to call the Dulce Wars, which is the idea of the Dulce Wars, if we want to be Italian about it. This flow of thought, where this came from, these resistances, what began what they now believe to be a decades-long fight between the various alien elements at the Dulce base and the human government, because what we're going to find out is that all this defied a treaty that Eisenhower signed with the Greys, which we've been talking about for many years.
Yes, we have. Yes, right. That treaty, if you will remember, was between Eisenhower and the Greys, and what that gave the Greys is a certain amount of humans to experiment on in exchange for high technology, such as fiber optics, lasers, and various other things that are essential to modern society. But the Greys ended up breaking that treaty and taking more and more humans each year, which upped the pressure between the humans and the Greys.
We gave them an inch, they took a mile. I can go into more detail about the Grey Treaty at any point. If anyone wants to meet me somewhere, I will deeply talk about it for a couple hours and how fucking the whole basis of our government was sold out. And that was the day we went from a democracy to a technocracy.
Yeah.
Who've got the technology have got the power. And those who've got, because these vibrators aren't building themselves.
That's very true.
Janarito's a lesbian who's a child molester, and Phil Schneider said that.
Well, we'll get to that fact.
Play my song.
No one is exactly sure how the final conflict between the Resistance and the Dulce overlords began.
Right.
Ultimately, the Resistance ended when a military assault was initiated through the exit tunnels, and almost every member of the Resistance group was either executed or detained, and it was believed that it was the Delta Force, because of the uniforms and the method that they used, that led the assault on the Resistance, and it was done at shift change to maximize the body count.
This is my question. What are the Delta Force? Is that like what the G.I. Joes were?
They were Rangers. I think G.I. Joes were Army Rangers, right?
What's a Delta Force?
Delta Force is an elite
Navy
force.
SEALs? Or is it just another thing? Is it a specific thing?
They're a U.S. Army component of Joint Special Operations. They're the first Special Forces Operational Detachment Delta, popularly known as Delta Force. It is a U.S. Army component of Joint Special Operations Command.
I'm going to join.
Yeah. Well, you get a fun hat. They wear funny hats, and they always have cigarettes in their sleeves.
Well, people have always said to me, Henry, you're quite a fashionista.
No, I don't know if that's true.
So basically, the Resistance got bought out. The resistance got sold out to the government. They fought back, but another worker in case had weapons, which is a bad thing if you want to run a fucking resistance.
Yeah.
You can't just have mops and sponges.
Well, that's usually how resistances fall, is that the government has all of the weapons. And if the people don't have the weapons, they can't rise up against the government.
Again, this is...
Don't tell that to Clive and Bundy.
Again, remember, this is Thomas Costello's story, right? And only a few of the security officers and computer workers had flash guns.
Yes.
And which is what we talked about briefly last episode, which is the main security officer weapon at the Dulce base.
Yeah. Flash guns were more commonly called the Flash or My Flash. In the manual, they were introduced as Armor Lux weapons. Now, the flash gun, it resembled a flashlight with a black glass conical inverted lens. On the side are three recessed knobs and three curved grooves. Each knob is sized differently. The closer the knob to the hand, the less the strength. Each knob has three strengths. A two-year-old could use this weapon.
Classic.
Let's go through the phases. Phase one, like Star Trek, can stun and maybe kill if the person has a weak heart. On phase two, the flash gun can levitate anything, no matter what it weighs.
Ooh, even the Statue of Liberty?
Anything.
Even the Golden Gate Bridge?
Anything.
Even Mount Rushmore?
Anything.
No, not Mount Rushmore.
Anything.
Wow. Carmen Sandiego could have used that weapon.
Oh,
it's too bad that she died of AIDS in 1987.
What?
Yeah.
I guess we can stop looking for her then. But where in the world is she?
Well, I'd imagine it has some sort of surface area where you can only lift it. Like, it has a surface area.
It says anything, Marcus.
I feel like Costello just aimed his flashlight at a bunch of random people and was just like, boom, do you feel it? Do you feel it?
Yeah, now take my flash and I'm going to lift that up. And I lift you up, Tony. You're going to make fun of me at the office. Yeah, I lift you up to the sky. Oh, man, all this traffic in the area. I want to go see Barry Manilow in concert. I'm listening up. All the cards and my flashlight. Meanwhile, it cuts to like a car and a dude in a car just staring at a man.
What?
Jabbing his flashlight at things.
Honey, stay in the car for a little while. There's a lunatic outside.
Now, and phase three is literally what they call serious business mode.
Serious business mode.
It can be used to paralyze anything that lives.
Serious business mode.
Serious business mode.
All right? And it can be used to paralyze anything that lives. Animal, human, alien, and plant.
Yeah.
My question is, not to be too questioning.
Yeah, we're not being too pedantic here, but...
What is the purpose of paralyzing a plant?
Plants move. They're a very invasive species out there.
Yeah, say you have like that kudzu ivy that's just completely destroying Georgia.
I think it's pronounced kudzu.
Kudzu?
Either way.
And on the highest position in the same mode, it can create a temporary death.
Mm-hmm.
Their life essence lingers in some strange limbo.
Mm-hmm.
In 1 to 5 hours, the person will revive slowly, like Juliet from Shakespeare's Romeo and Juliet.
They both died.
First, the bodily functions will begin, which means you fart and you shit. And in a few minutes, consciousness followed with full awareness. In that mode, the alien scientists reprogram the human brain and plant false information.
Yeah, ooh. And they say that if you try to confront this person with the fact that, like, this information is false, they have programmed you, the person either starts laughing uncontrollably or gets very angry.
Another example of plant life, Stephen King... Tales from the Crypt.
Oh,
if you
yeah.
recall that little short, he gets eaten by a plant. He could have used the serious business button.
He really could have.
Yeah. What about Audrey 2, Little Shop of Horrors?
There we go. You know what else could have dealt with that? A flamethrower.
Just take a flamethrower to it.
A knife. A big knife. Anything. Yeah, really. Yeah, yeah. Can handle a bunch of plants. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he had teeth, though. So.
Yeah, he had teeth and also big vines.
Bazooka. Fucking bazooka.
Yeah, where's Seymour going to get that, huh?
A gun. Anybody can get a gun. Take a gun from a cop. Or have a cop come and use a gun. Yeah. Call a cop, me like, there's a plant that's eating people. Cop's like, I'll believe it when I see it. And he shows up and he's like, oh my God, these plants are eating people. Baka, baka, baka. He pulls a fucking Ferguson on one of these talking plants. This is a problem. These cops got to stop shooting black people and start shooting these talking mitten plants.
That's a good point. I think you need to have go train them for a week. Weekend getaway with all the cops.
I'm going to start
by Henry Zebrowski.
Hashtag plant lives don't matter.
That is very, very true. They don't.
So when the smoke cleared, as far as the attack, the assault on the resistance by the Delta Force, when the smoke cleared, 68 humans had been killed, 22 were completely vaporized, 19 escaped via the tunnels, 7 of those were recaptured, and 12 remain hiding to this day.
And you know that this story is true because of how specific the numbers are.
Yes.
It's all in the details, my friend. But Castello, he returned to his post to bide his time, because apparently they didn't know that Castello, because I would imagine he betrayed their,
like,
the resistance.
Sold them out. If he could just go back to work after hanging out with a bunch of reptilians that are trying to defy the U.S. government.
I think it was Castello that sold them out.
I think we have no other fingers. It was Castello.
Yeah, it was Castello. He is, because he said we have no idea to this day who betrayed us. But it's pretty obvious who betrayed them.
Classic.
Yeah, but after a few more months, he couldn't take it anymore, and he told his best friend by a hand-pressed note that he was working in a subsurface huge installation outside of Dulce, New Mexico, and that he was working side-by-side with gray aliens that consider themselves native Terrans, and that the upside-down black triangle with the inverted gold-colored T inside it was the insignia of the project. So look out for that.
Hey, Dougie. Hey, Dougie. Yeah. Dougie. Hey, look at this. It's like, hey, Tom, what's up? Yeah. Do you like me? Check yes or no. Well, I like you. Say yes. P.S. You're working in a subterranean military base, and you're working side by side with gray aliens who consider themselves native Terrans and the upside down black triangle with a vertical toward T inside it was insignia of their project, so look out for that.
Oh my god, he said yes. Oh my god, he does love me.
So with his time at Dulce near an end, Castello broke into the facility through one of the less guarded air shafts.
Absolutely, of course. Totally doable.
Well, Henry, you were the one last episode that said there's a lot of entrances to these places. And Thomas, as the head security officer, would have known the places to break into.
Absolutely.
And it's just him dressed in all black, covered with Vaseline. He's like, this way the reptilians can't get a grip on me.
All lubed up. Yeah.
So once inside, he found and took photographs, a 7-minute black and white surveillance video of experiments, caged humans and grays. He made copies of the films, photos, and the paperwork, packed several quote-unquote packages, and instructed several people whom he trusted explicitly to bury them.
Like Cherry Hinkle?
Like Cherry Hinkle.
Wow.
I take your package, dear Tommy. I gotta say, it's lovely to see you there. I just like it when you show me pictures of the men getting their penises severed and then the penises being turned into caterpillars.
Classic Hinkle.
So he was then made aware, this is when the story gets sad, through certain sources, that his wife, Kathy, and his son, Eric, had been forcibly taken from their home to an undisclosed underground facility for quote-unquote safe holding until he decided to return to Dulce with the items. And he knew that at this point, that even if he did return to Dulce commanders, that his wife and son were probably never going to be the same again. Right. And if he even returned at all, after being manipulated by the aggressive mind.
He was an alcoholic and his family left him, right?
Yes. Yes, if Thomas Castello existed, he took the opportunity for his family to be stolen as a really quick way to be single again.
Yeah.
He literally he looked at all the stuff. These are excuses. Like, I want to start saying, it's like if you break up with your girlfriend for a little bit and you want to get back together and you're like, actually, you know, I'm kind of afraid that she'd be kind of be manipulated by aggressive mind control, so I don't think we can get back together. But really, just because you've been getting blown by fucking like 3 different women on the sly and you can't remember their names about, and you just love that rock and roll lifestyle.
Oh, yep. He decided to just cut his losses and go into hiding, always on the move, always on the run. Mm. Until the 90s, when he really opened up and decided to talk to an individual that wrote the Bibliotheca Pleiades article that much of this information is from. And we know that it was the 90s because they say in the article that it was the 90s.
So that's the Lockhart, that's the fucking diehard rock of the earth fucking truth of it.
They said it.
Right.
They said it, that it happened in the 90s, and they said that they did it in the last year of his life, and there are, I would say, a few conflicting reports with how Thomas Castello died.
But it says here it died mysteriously a year later in Europe. Oh, wait a second, but it also says here he died here of a heart attack in Costa Rica. Weird, but also say it says here that he died in an earthquake in Mexico.
Puerto Rico, actually.
I'm sorry, I get it mixed up.
Yeah. It's understandable. Dying in an earthquake. Out of all of those, out of those three options, I think I'm going to go with the heart attack.
Yeah, he was earthquaked by the CIA.
Oh my God, Puerto Rico.
You guys remember that huge Puerto Rican earthquake a few years back?
Yeah.
All right, but okay, so he's got what now becomes known as the Dulce Report, or the Dulce Pages, so the Dulce Files, however you want to call it. Marcus, read from the files and show everybody the truth.
This is going to be big.
Read from the files that he shared with everybody.
The files?
Are there no files?
But they're nowhere to be found? That's weird, though. But he said
Dog meat can't find them?
Play the videos that he recorded.
The videos?
Play the videos of the human experiments and on the pods.
The
and
ones. Stuff like
that, so people can hear the truth. Play the videos that he shared with the world.
The ones there has that to be video, yeah. are... I didn't. They weren't on Bibliotheca Pleiades.
To play the videos that he shared with the world.
I do not have them.
There's no evidence of anything.
You mean to tell me he didn't actually release any of that stuff?
Could not. Cherry Hinkle released a lot of stuff.
Cherry Hinkle.
Go to Cherry Hinkle's website and play the videos, the proof of what happened at Dulce right now. Play the videos.
She only has a Facebook page with funny alien memes.
So she doesn't... So... It's not real, then.
I did see Trainwreck this week.
Yeah, that's nice. Just straight out of Compton. Too real to be aliens.
Yeah, yeah. Kolchak the Night Stalker. That's what I've been watching.
Yeah. So it's so weird about how he produced all this stuff, but it's all nowhere to be found.
So Costello was just a lonely guy. Just a lonely...
I don't think Costello was real.
He may not have been real.
I think that, again, what we were talking about before, right? The reason why the government is probably listening to this podcast.
Yeah.
Hello, Barack Obama. I appreciate the health care. But
do you?
I actually get it from SAG. So okay. I'm set up. It's actually much better than Obama.
Classic.
They want to heal our actors. The reason why there's, again, this is a heaping pile of disinformation around with Dulce base, around the Dulce base. Dulce base is real. It's been contested for many, many years about whether or not there is an underground base at Dulce. Same thing with underneath area. Same thing, you know, Area 51, right? Area 51 is the ultimate example, right?
Mm-hmm.
The government said Area 51 didn't exist for years, mm-hmm. even though people were looking at it. And, you know, whistleblowers came out and went and talking about it and stuff like that. The government finally acknowledged it was real, right? So Area 51 is real. Dulce's real. They don't want to acknowledge it and the truth of what's going on there, of course, right? Because it's super, super top secret, whatever it is. It's probably some high-level technology kind of shit. Maybe there could be aliens there. I don't know. All of this could be dead letter perfect. But what they've done is ladle horseshit on top of it and love that these stories build up on top of it because it allows them to hide in plain sight.
I'm just upset Costello's not real. Next thing you're going to tell me is Kevin Spacey is gay and Donald Trump's a communist. I can't live in a world where Costello isn't real.
Yeah, yeah. And there are plenty of these underground bases. I mean, the Denver airport, there's an underground base underneath that. They're all over North Dakota. They have all like Cheyenne. Like there's an underground base there in the middle of the fucking mountain. They're everywhere. These places do exist, and like Henry said, yes, that's one of the reasons why we do these types of episodes where we talk about this wacky bullshit, because it is to highlight that the government does do some super shady bullshit, but they do love, and also the people that say, okay, so if these things do exist, well, the government can't even get the post office right, then how are they going to do all of this shit? Do you think that the government is going to put its top-level people in the local post office?
Not when they got a bunch of talented Costello's running around.
No, literally everybody who passed the flying colors of any one of those military like educational systems, like anybody who's the best of the best of the best, is at these top secret bases.
Yeah,
they're in these places working on stuff that is 40 years ahead of our time, and it's very interesting. The black ops budget is massive.
I think they're all shockingly stupid people.
I'm
going to say they're dumb.
Yeah,
watch them all interview.
You're so dumb, I dare you to contact us.
Mm. Hello? I have spoken to people that do not speak to people, and they are highly intelligent.
Yes. You've spoken to people who don't speak to people?
I've spoken to people who don't speak to people.
Are we going to try and burn through Phil Schneider?
I don't think we have time.
Fuck you! The story isn't complete without Phil Schneider.
I don't think we have time. There's some fucking construction scheduled here, and it will be awful.
My dick is hard.
I know your dick is hard.
Too real. Don't be too real right now. Treat dog meat with some respect, please.
I'm too real to treat people with respect.
No. Dog meat demands respect. Dog meat gets respect.
What I will say is I'm sad is that I've spent over maybe 8 hours of research on Phil Schneider.
Right.
And so that's where it's more like I just feel like my life has been wasted.
We will get the information of Phil Schneider out to the people.
Yes, indeed. Because in the future, we will be doing some mini-sodes, some mini-episodes, because we're going to be starting a little bit of a Patreon thing here in the future very, very soon. And that will be one of the rewards for people that give us a certain amount of money. We'll figure that out here in the future. The show will definitely still be free to everybody, but a lot of times when we do research, we do way too much, and we end up with some extra stuff, so those extra stuff episodes will be available to members.
And one of the gifts will be Ziploc baggie full of my facial hair. I'm always shaving 3 times a week.
That's disgusting.
Yeah. And I've got some cow ribs that I can just sort of, you know, I can just chunk those off and we can write our initials on them and we can send those out to people.
That's great. And I'll just take long videos of me eating.
Wow, this is really exciting.
This is really going to be great. People are really going to be thankful for these Patreon hits.
Yeah, we can do the last podcast reading series where I just read the Bible beginning to end.
I want to read
in 30-minute increments.
Yes, I'm going to read a how to play the harp manual, which is very, very true.
$10,000 and I will come to your home and I will kill your parents for you.
That is actually a hit. That is illegal and we do not sponsor that. Untrue.
Satire. So
that's been Dolce. We're going to talk more about Phil, but what an interesting story, guys.
Just know that
aliens, the greats. I like Ike Eisenhower, the greatest president in U.S. history, kept the entire world at peace.
Couple of things to look up if you want to do your own personal research and alienate your friends is the Greada Treaty, the Greada Treaty. Eisenhower between a group of Greys and Nordics included a cardinal and an 80-year-old reporter that was included because he knew how to keep a secret.
Again, if you want to find love, save that for the fourth date. Don't open up with that. All right, everyone. Thank you so much for listening. Let's do a Twitter thing.
Oh, yeah.
LP on the left. You can find us at LP on the left on Twitter, at Marcus Parks. I'm at Ben Kissel. Henry Zabrowski is at Henry Loves You.
Yeah, if the government wants to find me, it can follow me there and hopefully retweet me so I can get more followers.
Right, that's a good idea.
And be sure to go to iTunes from Nate and review us. If you want your last podcast on the left t-shirt, go to cavecomedyradio.com/merch and listen to all the rest of our shows while you're there. And Heil Gein, everybody.
Do we want to give a teaser about what next week's episode's going to be about? You know what's weird is because I'm like forgetting.
You know, it's like the bunch of just smoking.
I can't remember what it was. It's like a day.
I know there's a bumper. There's a lot of bumper stickers that
it's like a big day.
A big day, like a huge. I am.
Well, anyway, we'll remember
it.
We'll remember. It'll be fine.
Yes, thank you so much for supporting all the shows here on CCR, Top Hat, Roundtable, Sex and Other Human Activities,
Bang.
Everything that Marcus does.
Hail Satan again! You believe in magic? It'll bring good things into your life. I'm happier and stronger than I've ever been. I bought a book on candle magic called The Art of Candle Burning, which is from the 1940s, and I'll tell you what. I feel more focused and energized than I ever have before. Also, I've been eating a lot of meat.
Yeah, and you're working out a little bit. That's great. It's when you buy the candle book, then do you look at the person in the eyes when you buy
it? I bought it on Amazon.
Okay, good, yeah.
Also, I talked to there was a very sweet lady in a place called Wonderworks in Toronto that sold me all my candle goods and a bunch of spiritual gems, and she explained all the meanings of all the gems to me.
Weren't we having a conversation while you were in that candle store very loudly about the
that
day?
That was another candle store.
That was a different candle store when we were talking. Talking about the fire.
The day that shouldn't be remembered.
Yeah.
I'm just so happy candle stores are still around.
Oh, they're not going to last.
No.
A candle store can't last.
Kind of a small
not in this economy.
There, yeah.
All right. Hail me, if you would.
Let's do a magustalation.
Magustalation.
Don't go fuck yourselves.
Don't do it.
That's nice. Inhale yourselves.
Yes, of course.
Find love. It'll be good for you.
Or, you know, buy candles.
Suck some dick.
For more shows like the one you just listened to, go to cavecomedyradio.com.